It is indeed WEEI Football Sunday here. Hour number two, Christian Arkan, Mego, Shime Time, all with you until 12:35. And joining us on the hotline right now from NBC Sports Boston, the man who has been at the forefront of a lot of big breaking news that affected all of this preseason and going into the season now, the main guy that we're listening to, that's Tom E. Curran joining the show right now. Tommy, you've covered this team a long time. We've had a big, lots and months of conversations about this offseason. The day is finally here. Is there sort of a sense of closure now to the idea that it's a new regime, it starts today, and we're about to all experience it together?
Yeah, I think that's the overriding theme to today is, you know, there hasn't been a game contested since the first week of 2000 for the New England Patriots in which Bill Belichick was not on the sideline. I have kids who are 25 and 26 who have no recognition at all of a Patriots team without Bill Belichick on the sideline. So this is a new era, and we've only been able to kind of spitball as to what it might look like. But today we'll finally get some data, get some information. What is this next era of New England Patriots football going to look like, and what's the vision for it, at least as it begins?
Tom, we've all been trying to speculate from what we've been able to see what the offense is going to look like. Who individually on the offense intrigues you the most that's going to be playing today? So you can't say Drake May, assuming that he doesn't get in there for mop-up duty or even earlier than that.
Yeah, how do they feature Pop Douglas, Mego? To me, that is the most obvious safety valve. He is Troy Brown in the 2000 season and the 2001 season. He is, to me, the player that you can have win one-on-one on a continuous basis, who's impossible to guard, who defensive coordinators are going to have to deploy plenty of time and probably plenty of manpower to accounting for that player. And I just don't think there's a lot of other guys on the Patriots roster that defensive coordinators are saying to their players, hey, make sure you know where he is on every single snap. Make sure you identify where he's lined up and where he is in motion and communicate. Because to me, Pop Douglas is a player who we saw glimpses of, but in the latter portion of the season, there were only two players, Deebo Samuel and Rashee Rice, in the final eight games who had more yards after catch than Demario Douglas. So to me, the Patriots have to figure a way to get the ball in his hands and to utilize him as their one mismatch who can move the chains. And hopefully, if teams start to spend time and resources trying to stop him, it can open up things for Jalen Polk, for KJ Osborne, for Hunter Henry, and for the running game.
Tom, it seems like Jamar Chase's status is in question. T. Higgins' status is very much in question. Do you think Jerod Mayo and DeMarcus Covington see this as a major opportunity to kind of make a statement with their defense against Joe Burrow today?
Yeah, 100%. I think that, you know, and I think Cincinnati's going to look at this as an opportunity to kind of unveil who they are, too. Post Joe Mixon, without Chase, without Higgins. Joe Burrow has never gone through an NFL training camp completely healthy, and he just completed that for the first time here this offseason. So I think that Burrow comes into this game as someone who is, you know, maybe fallen out of the highest of the elite quarterback conversation. But to me, I think that he is right there behind Mahomes with Allen, with the other players who are elite players at that position. And I think that Joe Burrow is pretty primed right now to have an outstanding season and probably an outstanding opening week. But yeah, you're exactly right. I think the Patriots are going to look at this as an opportunity, but week one has so much unknown, and the Bengals have spent the last, you know, 6 to 8 weeks preparing without Jamar Chase. So they've probably figured out, okay, who do we want to be week one if we don't have Jamar?
Speaking of the identity of these teams here, we've heard Jerod Mayo and others talk about how this is going to be a run-first offense here in New England and that you're going to see a lot of the run game early and often. Do you consider that to be sort of a conservative game plan? We heard Mayo talk about how there's only five different kinds of runs even that you can have. Are they going to be overly conservative, do you think, here in week one?
I think they'll be appropriately conservative, which might look like overly conservative, but if you're in second and nine or third and seven, I wouldn't be surprised if you're not seeing a lot of downfield throws. I mean, you cannot end possessions with anything but kicks, whether it be extra points or punts. You can't be in a position where you're setting that defense, which is the strong suit of your team, to be defending 35-yard fields, 40-yard fields, 15-yard fields because you made a mistake and had a turnover. So to me, I think the best approach is when you have an offensive line that's in the level of disarray that the Patriots continue to be because of both personnel and injuries, err on the side of conservatism until things get a little kooky and your defense has been beaten, and say it's 21-3 at halftime, well, then you can't be handing off on 3rd and 7 or, you know, checking down on 2nd and 8. You're going to have to get a little bit more aggressive. But I definitely think that you have to go with what you have strengths at and play to those.
I'm wondering what you're thinking about Christian Gonzalez, particularly in the beginning portion of this season. Everybody was very impressed with what we saw from him before his injury last year, but you see some of the weapons that he's going to be going against for the first couple weeks. It's Garrett Wilson, assuming Tyreek Hill, Ayuk, Debo, Diggs. That's all before Halloween. Do you expect him to be able to take on the assignments that he's going to have when they're so challenging?
I can only go off what he did last year, Mego. And in the first four games, he checked some outstanding receivers. You know, A.J. Brown in the first week. I can't remember who they had two at the moment. But he faced a fleet of good receivers before his shoulder injury. And in each one, he more than held up. So while we've seen in training camp occasions where I've said, you know, he just doesn't seem to compete with the same level of intensity in practice, I have to defer to what I've seen on the field during games, which was outstanding. So I think he's certainly going to be a very focused on player because he's probably the most talented player on their defense aside from Christian Barmore, who's out. So if you're building a team, if you're building a franchise and you have your quarterback and you have what I think is your slot receiver and you're starting to staff wide receiver, how does your defense look? Do you have a shutdown corner? And if the Patriots foundationally do have a shutdown corner, which I think Gonzalez projects to be, well, then that's great. But if he doesn't look like that, well, it's a larger concern.
All right. Week two, by the way, Tommy, that would be the recently arrested Tyreek Hill was his assignment against the Dolphins. That was who we had in week two last week, or last year.
Correct. And yes. I think he looked okay in that one.
So, Tom, Drake May super fan here. I just needed to clarify that before I start the question. Is there anything that Jacoby Brissett can really do in this game that would allow for us to see Drake May sooner rather than later?
Get hurt.
Aside from that?
I think... I don't know if there's any upside to ramming him out there. If it's 31-3 in the fourth quarter, maybe. Maybe you can do that. But is that productive, those productive reps, especially if it's a jailbreak up front? So I wouldn't think so. I think they're pretty much just based on how committed they've been to the development aspect and to articulating that, I just think it would be counter to everything they're telling us if all of a sudden, oh, here comes Drake May, third quarter, Patriots down 7. Can you envision that, Chris?
No, my thought was more so like if Jacoby Brissett comes out here and Nathan Peterman's all over himself, like is there a chance we see Drake May in the second half, or is there a chance that immediately following the game we're seeing reports and like you're hearing from people that there's a really good chance Drake May could compete for the starting job next week?
Yes, it could, but I just don't think that seems to be their leaning. And I think this is going to be a weekly conversation in the May progress report. But I don't think everything in Jacoby Brissett's background, he's second in NFL history in terms of interception rate at 1.4%. I just don't think he's going to have 4 picks in the first half and being a total impediment to winning where the Patriots are saying to themselves, we can't put Jacoby out there. I mean, that's basically what it has to come to. That's what it came to last year with Mac Jones. That's generally what it comes to with a starter is, we can't watch this guy anymore. Let's go to door number two. And the same reasons that they have May on the bench would be the reasons that they would argue to say, well, let's not do that. Are you putting him in a position to succeed, or are you putting him in a position to regress? So I don't think so, Christopher.
We're talking with Tommy Curran. Tommy, before we let you go, you mentioned the offensive line and what a mess it is, obviously. We watched in that Ravens game, I should say, on opening night, Sean Hockley throw a million flags in that first drive there for the Ravens. It was very reminiscent to what the Patriots had happened to them in that Hockley game in the preseason as well. And I guess the question is, in the event that this isn't a Hockley type game, we didn't see him throw all those sorts of flags in Brazil, and I don't expect to see that all throughout the course of the games today. Could maybe the offensive line, was that maybe something that you look at and think, oh, all right, maybe it's not going to be quite as bad as it looked in that particular preseason game. They're not going to call it like that all season long.
Yeah, we'll see how they call it. It's a point of emphasis. So if over the last 2 weeks since that game, the Patriots haven't had light dawn on Marblehead, then I would be stunned. They have to align themselves correctly. The problem is you're on the road. You're against a team that has, you know, good pass rushers like Trey Hendrickson. So are you able to protect? And I think the Patriots have to sell out in protecting Jacoby Brissett. So at least the game is not ruined early on. So to me, I would expect they're going to look miles better than they looked against Washington, including the fact that David Andrews will be out there as well, helping to set protections and stabilize things. But still, it's not what we would call a daunting offensive line to go against for the Cincinnati Bengals.
All right, before we let you go here, Tom, do they keep it close today?
Yeah, they actually get an early lead. They're up 10-0, surprisingly, and people are saying, well, let's focus in on red zone. And then they go into a funk, and Cincinnati wins 23-13.
Get the hopes up a little bit and then crush them like grapes. That sounds
they
about right.
They didn't look bad. They looked okay.
Yeah, I'll take that. All right, Tommy Curran, thanks so much for the time. Look forward to talking with you this season.
All right. Enjoy the game, guys.
All right. Thanks, that's Tom. Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston, joining us here on NFL Sunday on WEEI. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. We got the inactives coming your way in about 15 minutes. But first, here's Chris Schein with what's trending. I thought Gerard Mayo was singing LaGrange there for a second.
That would have been good.
Did he just mid-interview start singing? No, wait. No, that's the song. Okay. I
kind of hope he's a big karaoke guy. I would love that about him.
That'd be cool. You know, I've seen ZZ Top.
Have you really?
They opened for John Fogerty up in Meadowbrook, and I got there right at the end of their set as they were playing the song.
Ooh, ZZ Top Fogerty. That must have been fun.
It was a good show. Okay. It was a very, very good show. Anyway, we got a lot to get to here in this segment. We got the inactives coming out in just about less than 10 minutes. But in the meantime, let's go to your phones at 617-779-7937. We'll kick things off with our good friend Sorja in Mansfield. Go ahead, Sorja.
What's going on, guys? How are we this morning?
What's up, pal? How you doing?
So a couple of quick points here, and then I'll give you an interesting question at the end. I think the Patriots can backdoor cover and possibly win this game if and only if the, Chase and T. Higgins are out of the game. I mean, you look at this depth chart. I mean, besides them, the Bengals have nothing, right? And you look at it, a lot of those guys probably get open when Chase and Higgins are doubled. And, you know, I really love Gerard the coach, but I think he just needs to get in the habit of like not always contradicting himself, where you say Brissett gives you the best chance to win, but then you say Drake May outplayed him in the preseason, but then you say on another podcast that, you know, being able to scramble in the pocket is the best, most important characteristic of a quarterback in today's league. So I don't really know the expectations for this year, because on one hand, I want them to be competitive, but on the other hand, I also want them to be able to get the number one pick so we can basically do what Chicago did 2 years ago and trade down. Now, my great question for you guys is after it's all said and done, uh-huh, who do you think will have a higher winning percentage, the New England Patriots or the Chicago White Sox? I'll listen for your call. Take care.
All right, thanks for the call. He really pumped up that question at the end, and it was okay, Sorge, but come on. Like, he called it like great. He called it very interesting. Like, it was fine. All right, it was a fine question. So, I think the Patriots will have a better winning percentage.
I agree. And speaking of questions, Mega, I have a question for you, because you're down there at the locker room. Mm-hmm. You've kind of gotten the vibe. Sorge brought up a good point in that it feels like everything Gerard Mayo is saying sounds like now he would rather start Drake May. But everything they've done up to this point as a unit, the collaboration portion of it, has indicated, no, it's Jacoby Brissett. It has always been. It will be Jacoby Brissett until further notice. Do you get any vibe at all that Gerard Mayo has kind of almost changed his mind a little bit during this process, but the other two guys that he's dealing with, like Alex Van Pelt and Elliot Wolf, have been like, no, we're sticking to the plan. Do you get any sense of that at all? Because it sounds like that when he speaks.
I would translate Gerard Mayo's language as Drake May surprised them with how quickly he's progressed.
Sure.
They knew that they were taking on a quarterback who was going to be a project. And so they had this plan laid out for Jacoby Brissett. And we'll see where Drake is. He was never going to start week one. Like, we'll see where he is behind the scenes. We'll have him do his reps. We'll have him do his mental reps. We'll have him do the virtual reality. All of that stuff. We'll have him be on scout
virtual
team
sprints
and see how he progresses week to week. I firmly believe that they didn't think that he was going to look the way that he looked in those last two preseason games, which, yes, going up against backups on backups on backups, okay, but he still looked, he showed a composure that I don't think that they expected to see from him, especially, Christian, you were talking about the joint practices,
right?
Like, or joint practice. Yes, I think that he surprised them is the right way to say it, and so Jerod Mayo didn't do a great job articulating that when he said that Drake outplayed Jacoby Brissett in the preseason. I think he would love to have that one back. But I think what he was trying to say is he kind of outplayed their expectations for him for where they were.
Outplayed Jacoby Brissett.
I talked to Antonio Gibson a couple days ago.
Greg.
And he said, he's like, Drake was, I'm paraphrasing here, but he was like, yeah, it was really different in minicamp, in OTAs.
Mm-hmm.
He looks really different now.
Yeah. He has progressed.
Yeah. It's been a rapid progression.
Way
for him,
faster than they expected.
And they're like, okay, is this real? They keep referencing what they saw at the beginning of the spring. And it's like, who cares about that?
Yeah.
Who's this guy now? But I think that they're just trying to make sure that what they're seeing is real.
Yeah, because it's so weird to me. I listen to Gerard speak, and every time it's well, yeah, Drake's outplayed Jacoby and then tries to walk it back. But then he's on a podcast with Devon Godshaw, and he's like, yeah, the most important thing as a quarterback, you know, sometimes you got to play backyard football a little bit, and you have to be athletic, and it just opens up so many different avenues. I'm like, well, Jacoby Brissett doesn't have that at all. Drake May does. Mm-hmm. I saw it on 3rd and 14, backed up into his own end zone. And so it's just like everything I hear from Gerard Mayo sounds to me like he is more and more impressed by Drake May by the day.
Mayo's a schmoozer, right?
Yeah.
And you know, you work with a schmoozer. Like, you know,
yep.
You know what schmoozers are like.
Yeah.
They talk. They say a lot of things. They're always sort of keeping the conversation going. They'd rather talk than have there be an awkward silence.
Smiles.
Which is the opposite of Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick thrived in awkward silences. But Mayo, you can tell, just doesn't like him. He'd rather fill the void by just talking and chatting and saying these things. And listen, I mean, I don't know if that messaging has had a negative effect on the locker room. I guess we'll find out. John is in Lowell. He has a thought on the Patriots and wants to say hi to Mego. Go ahead, John.
Okay, thanks.
You're welcome.
I just want to say I miss you being on the afternoons.
Thanks, Sean. That's very kind.
And I hope at some point they bring you back the rest of the way. I did like your article about the Patriots where you brought up the Claude thing. That was kind of funny.
Thank you.
Oh, right, about the about
007.
The 007, the club guy. I read that one. Yes, I was like, what the hell is she possibly going to do? How is she going to connect these things?
Did you land the plane?
Absolutely.
Okay.
100%. And it made me want to go play that game, which I haven't. It's been decades, I guess, since I played Golden.
I loved that game.
But, man, I mean, if there was a video game that had a stranglehold on the youth of America for like 5 or 6 years, tighter than that one, I can't think of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, to the point that like a 9-year-old girl played it.
Yeah, right.
I was like, okay, like where my grandma kicked us out of the house because we're supposed to be outdoors in the summer. So we go down the street to play GoldenEye at the dorky kid's house, like in his basement,
yep.
And eat Airheads. That was something.
That is childhood. That was my favorite part of childhood.
It is. Making fun of the people who picked Odd Job, which you can't, it's unacceptable.
What are we doing?
The really, really hardcore, the slappers only. You remember that?
Yes.
You ever do slappers only?
Yes.
I mean, that was...
Like, as a joke.
Well, yeah. You did that. You knew afterwards,
knives.
Like, your relationship with the people you were playing with wasn't going to be the same.
Never.
Like, you may not even be friends anymore.
It's hard to look somebody in the eye after that.
It is.
You get to the lunchroom that Monday, and you're like... Just, you know, why don't we just sit at separate tables?
Before we get to the inactives here, which will be released momentarily, The breaking news of the day is, there's three pieces of breaking news today, I should say. Number one, Tyreek Hill detained outside of Hard Rock Stadium on his way there by Miami police for reckless driving. He has since been released and is going to play today, according to his agent, Drew Rosenhaus, who said that the detainment was completely unnecessary. He's very distraught and that they're going to look into it. Watch out, Miami-Dade Police Department. There's also Dak Prescott reaching a four-year, $240 million extension that will make him the highest-paid player in NFL history. That's $60 million a year.
That's
and
insane.
Keep him in a Cowboys uniform for seasons to come. And this is less breaking news, but it's definitely being reported on right now. The Bengals and Ja'Marr Chase not expected to reach a contract extension before today's regular season opener. Remains unclear if Chase will play today. The actives and inactives will be coming out here in just a minute, so we'll let you know as soon as we know about all of that. But yes, Dak Prescott, now the highest paid quarterback and player in the NFL. That's more than Joe Burrow, more than Jordan Love, more than Trevor Lawrence, more than all of them. Reaction to that before we get to the inactives.
It made sense. Like, if the Cowboys weren't going to pay him this money, somebody was this offseason. He had that clause in his contract, like Tom Brady, where he wasn't allowed to be franchise tagged. At the end of the season, he could just walk. And the Cowboys, that meant they either needed to trade him or pay him. Ultimately, I think they made the right decision. They've now paid Dak Prescott, and they have locked up their guy for a couple years. I think Dak Prescott's a really good quarterback. I've always been a fan of his. He was going to make this money somewhere. It makes sense that it was with Dallas.
I'm wrinkling my nose over here because I'm a Washington area native, so I just can't appreciate anything that Dallas ever does. So I'm just saying that with my bias on Front Street. I think Dak Prescott is extremely overrated, and so he gets an overrated contract here.
Dak says hi!
Like, I know he's got the 4,000-plus passing yard seasons time and time again, but in the postseason, he never goes anywhere. He never goes anywhere.
But then again, neither is Aaron Rodgers, and people think he's one of the greatest quarterbacks
ever played.
Aaron Rodgers
has a Super Bowl.
True.
Where's Dax?
That's fair point.
We're not here in his fourth season at this point. At some point, it's like, show me. And you just never have.
Yeah, I get that. I think a lot of Dak's success, especially recently, has been in part because of CeeDee Lamb. He is, I think he deserved to get paid, and he got paid what he was owed. And now it's kind of a huge question mark on Micah Parsons.
He should give some of that money to CeeDee Lamb, is what you're saying.
Probably. Or he should at least maybe give him a car or something. Buy him a Rolex. Be like, thank you.
I think he just got paid, right? Did Lamb not get paid?
No, yet? Lamb has gotten paid.
Lamb got paid, yeah.
Ja'Marr Chase is the one receiver still holding out.
Everybody very happy over there in Dallas. And I'm not seeing inactives are out.
We got news.
hit the button there. Your inactives are out. I'm not seeing the Patriots so far, but I do see the Bengals, and Ja'Marr Chase is playing.
Officially active.
Ja'Marr Chase is not on the inactive list. It's T. Higgins, Kendrick Pryor, Cedric Johnson, Amarius Mims, Tanner McLaughlin, and Chris Jenkins Jr. A couple of those guys are rookies. Higgins, we knew, was probably not going to play because he was doubtful the other day on Friday. Ja'Marr Chase, despite not coming to an agreement yet on his new contract, if he's even going to have one, is going to be active today, according to this list.
So how does that alter, Shyam, your expectation for the game?
Bet the house on Ja'Marr Chase receiving overs. That's what I would do. I like Christian Gonzalez. I don't know how good he's going to be against Ja'Marr Chase today. Ja'Marr Chase is, they weren't able to get the contract done, so clearly he is going to be playing for a contract at this point. If he's actually playing in the game, he is going to tell Joe Burrow, funnel the balls to me, give me everything, and that's exactly what it's going to be.
Yeah, probably. Do they still have... They still have that Kurt Cobain-looking guy who burned him for two touchdowns, who burned the Patriots.
Trent Irwin.
Irwin, he's still on the team, right?
Yeah, like
got to watch out for him, too. And not really. I mean, he's just a white guy with long blonde hair.
Is he hot?
He doesn't really look like Kurt Cobain.
Okay, so.
He looks more like maybe a little more...
Crocodile Dundee?
Mixed with Brett Michaels, maybe a little bit.
Maybe a little Trevor Lawrence in there.
Ew, okay, far way away from Kurt Cobain
at
this point, guys.
I'm naming every white guy with long blonde hair I can think of. It's really what's happening.
He looks like the Tiger King.
Basically, yes, he's the Tiger King, and he is playing as well. And he did. There was that guy. I remember that game 2 years ago. He had two touchdowns in that game. I was like, who the hell is that guy? But yeah, so there's some other just around the league. Other inactives are out. Not a lot really to tell you about if you were a Titans fan or on the Titans. Looks like DeAndre Hopkins is playing. There was some question there.
News in Pittsburgh as well. Justin Fields will be starting a quarterback for the Steelers today.
Really?
Yes. Russell Wilson.
What?
Russell Wilson was dealing with a calf injury. I know that leading up to this game. So clearly, he was not able to go. Justin Fields will get the start in Pittsburgh today. I can double check that for you.
Just wondering if, like, maybe Russell Wilson wasn't able to do his lunges up and down
Steelers
the aisle.
Are at Atlanta.
That's what it was. He didn't get to do his plane exercises.
I bet that's it. By the way, the Patriots have not released their inactives yet. Guys, come on. Let's go.
What are we doing here?
It's 11:35. 5 minutes past the deadline. Have they not decided yet? I'm not really sure. I feel like everybody has to release them at 11:30. But the Patriots taking their sweet-ass time. So we'll let you know as soon as we know what their inactive situation is right now. As Scheim just told you, Russell Wilson officially out. Justin Fields going to be getting the start for the Steelers against the Atlanta Falcons. I'm looking around. I'm not seeing a lot of, like, major names here. The Texans have John Metchie. He's going to be out. It's really mostly about who is playing. And the big one here for this Patriots matchup, that would be Ja'Marr Chase. No T. Higgins, no Kendrick Pryor, but Chase is playing, and he's their guy. I mean, listen, I like T. Higgins a lot. Ja'Marr Chase is their guy, and I think with him out there, that's going to just make Joe Burrow that much more effective. That's his guy. That's his main principal target. If he wasn't out there, I think that would really change the entire outlook of this offense and what Burrow's able to do. If he has them out there to look at, just the comfort of that, I think, is going to really help.
Absolutely. Look, T. Higgins is a big break for you being out, so John Jones has to be happy about that for making his day a little bit easier. But it's the difference between, like, hey, can you win this game 13-10, something like that, versus, okay, this game it could get into the 20s, and are you a team that can score more than 17 points per game against the Bengals defense? I don't know.
And this comes back to earlier what we were talking about when it comes to the actual game planning of the defense. It's like, okay, Ja'Marr Chase is the number one guy. Clearly, he is going to get the bulk of the targets here. How do you defend that? How do you force Joe Burrow to use guys like Trenton Irwin and Andre Yoshivash and Mike Gesicki and the running backs and kind of try and take away Ja'Marr Chase, one of the best receivers in football?
Yeah.
I do think it gives you more of a fair look, assuming Jabril Peppers is going to play today. And I know they were giving him some medical exercises down on the field, and he seemed pretty happy at the end. So I'm taking that from reports that I'm seeing on Twitter. I'm taking that as good news and assuming that he's going to play again. We don't have the inactives yet, but I do feel like this gives you more of a fair look at your secondary, which should be strong. Like, yeah, that should be a much stronger part of your team than anywhere else. And you look at on paper who the Bengals are, and maybe you wouldn't have seen that otherwise today.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I think Mego's absolutely right. Like, this gives you an opportunity now. Let's see what Christian Gonzalez is fully healthy and ready to go, see what he has to offer, see what this defense looks like, especially in the secondary, and see if you can create any kind of mismatches, any kind of, you know, any of those luck plays, those bounces that just go your way, one fumble, one pick, you know, that could be the difference.
Yeah, 100%. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Let's take an early break here as we wait for the inactives. We'll have them for you, hopefully, when we come back, and we will also have keys to the game from our own Wiggy, Jermaine Wiggins. That's all coming up right after this. It's Gerard Mayo talking about his men who will be going out there today. Not all of them, though. We did just get the inactives 12 minutes after they were supposed to be released. Someone finally tweeted them out there over at Gillette. And here it is, your New England Patriots inactives, week one against the Cincinnati Bengals. Let's start at the bottom. Eric Johnson, defensive tackle, out. DeMontre Jacobs, the mountain, 6'9", 400 pounds, this guy, he's out. Zachary Thomas, also out. So there's two backup tackles, swing tackles, you won't have on the offensive line today. City Sow, out. We already knew that. Curtis Jacobs, linebacker, not super familiar with him. He's out. Joe Milton is out. And Javon Baker is out. Any surprises here, guys?
Absolutely not. I'm very happy to see that Jabril Peppers is indeed playing today. Vedarian Lowe obviously has had some stuff going on over the last couple weeks, so happy there's no surprises in that area.
Yeah, and Javon Baker being out here, it means just, you know, you're going with more of the veteran approach. It's really just Jalen Polk that's going to be the younger guy, and then Pop Douglas is, you know, only in his second year, but you're going to rely a lot on those veteran receivers, guy like KJ Osborne and such. So, I mean, we'll see, but no surprises at least so far.
Yeah, with Baker out, that leaves your wide receiver group with Osborne, Polk, Douglas, Thornton, and Booty. And that's it. So, you know, those are going to be the five targets, five receiver targets anyway, that Jacoby Brissett is going to be looking to throw to. All your tight ends are playing. Henry's good. Hooper's good. Bell's good. The running backs are all there. Hasty, Gibson, Stevenson. There was some question about Gibson. He's going to play. And Joe Milton. Anybody surprised Joe Milton's not on the sheet today?
Not at all. That would, I mean, it would be ridiculous. So I
emergency backup core. I don't know. I mean, I don't think it's that ridiculous. I thought that having the three of them on the roster.
Well, so
that
he
they
is
were all going to be.
Yeah, he is, I think, still technically.
Yeah, he could still be that. Okay.
Yeah,
right.
I think the third quarterback. You're technically inactive, but you are the emergency. You're the e-bug. More
okay.
Or less.
All yeah. Right. Well, then thank you for that. Then I wasn't sure, but yeah. All right. There you go. There are your inactives once again for the Patriots. Baker, Milton, Jacobs, Zachary Thomas, DeMontre Jacobs, and Eric Johnson. For the Bengals, it's T. Higgins, Pryor, Cedric Johnson, Amarius Mims, Tanner McLaughlin, and Chris Jenkins Jr. That means that Jamar Chase is active and will be playing. All right, without any further ado, let's get down to it. It is time for the keys to the game, courtesy of a Mr. Jermaine Wiggins.
What up, Coach Wiggy here. My three keys for the Patriots to win this football game on Sunday is this. Number one, you got to be able to create turnovers. Defensively, the team is going to need you to create turnovers. Win the turnover battle.
All right. Let's take these one at a time. Win the turnover battle. That is obviously something you want to do every week.
Yep.
Wiggy's calling it a key to the game. Is this the type of defense you guys think is going to be able to do that against a competent offense in the Cincinnati Bengals?
I think they can. And honestly, I think that that's what they're betting on, to try to get an edge in a lot of these games against good offenses. You hear the way that they talk about their own offense. They extol the values of Jacoby Brissett having so few turnovers. Mm-hmm. I think that on the other side, they're looking for, I'm not sure that they have anybody out there that's like a bona fide ball hawk that I can think of off the top of my head. That's certainly a corner position that they've had at different times in the last couple years. I don't see anybody that jumps off the page that way, but I still think that they can capitalize on turnovers.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious to see where Mayo's scheme lines up. Is it as aggressive as someone like Brian Flores, or is it as conservative as someone like Matt Patricia, or somewhere in between? Because I think there's going to be more opportunity if you're more on that chaos, I'm going to just blitz the hell out of you kind of mentality. You're going to find more interceptions that
Jabril
way.
Jabril Peppers would enjoy that very much.
I think a lot of guys on this defense would enjoy that very much. So I wouldn't be shocked if they leaned more towards that chaotic scheme.
The Patriots last year had a negative 11 takeaway to giveaway ratio. So that had more to do with the offense and all the giveaways,
sure.
Obviously. But in terms of takeaways, they had 18, which has them down in the bottom third of the league, to be sure. The Ravens were number one with 31. Then the Giants had 31. The Bills, like, those are the good teams. 18 was right down near the bottom. The worst was the Panthers at 11. 10 interceptions, 8 forced fumbles. Not something that really came supernaturally to them, you know, where they weren't a team that was out there flipping the field very often last year. But it's a new day and a new season, and hopefully that's something that they can re-implement into their scheme. All right, what else do we have there, Wiggy?
Number two, Jacoby Brissett. He's going to have to go out there and he's going to have to be super efficient to win this football game.
Okay. Yes, to win this football game. Thank you very much.
What a bomb.
We don't have Wiggy here to ask this, obviously, but when I hear efficient, I think short passes, I think dump offs, I think not taking lots of shots downfield.
High completion percentage, yeah. No turnovers.
Okay. I mean, that's kind of the baseline of what you're expecting from Jacoby Brissett, right? That you just eliminate. We hear them talk about, make the right decisions, eliminate any potential of mistakes.
So it'll be interesting, though, because
it's a clean game.
In Cleveland, when these two guys were together, Alex Van Pelt and Jacoby Brissett, a lot of the offense resided on play action deep shots and taking shots down the field. So I'm kind of curious to see if they're going to play it more conservatively and focus on the high efficiency, or if they're going to attack this relatively weak Cincinnati defense and try and push the ball down the field a little bit, especially with guys like Tyquan Thornton, who's clearly going to be playing and active in this game.
Yeah, certainly seems like that. I don't know how much he's going to get the ball. I would imagine if they're trying to get guys like him going, rather than bomb it to him down the field, you might see some backfield jet sweep type of stuff. You know, like
I wouldn't be shocked if you see, like, first play of the game, play action, 7-step drop, and they just launch one to a guy like Tyquan.
Really?
You think so?
Yeah. Like, and they just take a shot right away.
Bengals secondary is not that good.
No, the whole defense stinks. They were 28th in the league last year. And look, Tom said it earlier. Like, he thinks that the Patriots could get out to a 10-0 lead, and I think that's one way that they could do it.
I don't know. I kind of envision more what Arcan's saying, but it might not be specific to this team, just overall them making a lot of use out of Antonio Gibson and run, screen, slants. Yep. Like, that's more of what we're going
to
see.
I'd like to see Marcus Jones get the ball.
You may not even see him on offense.
I'd like to see him on offense. I'd like to see him out there. I mean, I know he's going to be returning kicks and everything.
Forget about him all the time.
Yeah, right?
That would be fine by me. All right, let's get to our third key to the game, Wiggy. Thank you.
And number three, you got to be able to run the football so you can put Jacoby Brissett in a position to be successful and not have to rely on him throwing the ball 35, 40 times a game. Those are the three keys.
All right, Coach Wiggy, or former Coach Wiggy, I should say, with his keys to the game there. We know this is going to be a running offense, right? I mean, they basically telegraphed that to us. Jacoby Brissett's the starting quarterback. He's talking about trying to limit him so he doesn't have to throw the ball that much. 30 passing attempts isn't a lot of passing attempts. Let's be honest here. Like, if they're trying to keep him around 30, that means they're going to be running the ball an ass load today. So is that the way to go?
I think you have to. I think if you want to win football games, that's going to have to be your primary focus almost all year. It's running the football a lot, taking your shots when they present themselves and present you with a good opportunity to do so, and then just being efficient on the ground. This offensive line has a lot of question marks, but you can kind of cover that up if you can run the football effectively. And I think that's going to be imperative.
The biggest concern with me in having this be the game plan today is, so where's the element of surprise? How are you keeping the defense on their toes at all? Because they can just go load up the box in front of you every single time if it starts to look like that. Are you able to scheme up something enough with how weak your offensive line is to be able to take the shots when they present themselves and keep them on their toes on the other side? Because I'm not sure that you have the personnel where you can continue just to ground and pound over and over and over again. They were talking the other day about repping in these offensive linemen and the conditioning level that these guys are at. And we're the first week of the season.
Yeah, but so I don't know that this defense is good enough that you have to throw curveballs.
Right, like, but it's remember just who your offensive line is.
Sure, yeah, but at the same time, you can say the same thing about the Cincinnati defense. Like, they're that bad. This is a bottom quarter defense in football. You're not facing the 49ers. You're not going up against D'Amico Ryans. It is straightforward. Lou Anarumo is a good coach, but when you don't have good players, the defense just isn't that good. And so you just throw your fastball, get it over the plate, and just do it efficiently.
The only thing I think could sneak up on them is they got new safeties this year. Geno Stone and Von Bell.
Stone is good.
I think Stone's very good. I mean, he was very good with Baltimore. So I think that there's a chance. In between there, their corners and their linebackers aren't very good. They got some good guys up front. If they can sort of play that middle of the field game and keep the safeties and the defensive ends sort of off their ass, then I think that, you know, they have a chance here to at least make some headway and to keep that offense off the field for a little bit. But, you know, it's going to take a lot. It's going to take a lot for this offense. It's very much a work in progress. Whatever you think about the Bengals and who they have or don't have today, that is an offense that sort of understands what they're doing. I'm not sure the Patriots know that yet. They're going to be learning a lot today, and it's sort of tough to expect much when a team's learning on the job, you know?
Can we talk about the other piece of news that dropped this hour?
Absolutely.
Relating to the NFL? Kendrick Lamar playing Super Bowl halftime?
Love it.
Like, I said to you, Arcan, and you thought that it was a joke.
Yeah.
I think it's like
a new song he's doing or something called, you know, Super Bowl or something. It's the latest diss track to Drake or something like that. He's actually going to be doing that. That's wild. That's why I remember they used to not touch rappers. Rappers, when Nelly was out there with Britney Spears,
that was one of my favorite shows.
And then they didn't have another rapper for I don't know how long. And then they did what you were just talking about there, the Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg, Eminem one with 50 Cent and all that. And now it seems like, all right, well, rappers now.
But it's also rappers. It's not like bringing in, like, you know, Jay-Z or Dr. Dre or somebody, honestly, from an older generation.
No.
Kendrick Lamar is very contemporary.
Very much so.
So it's quite a zag that I'm in favor of.
And it's not like he plays feel-good football music, you know?
No.
Ultra-political.
Yeah. And it's also not very clean either, which is a direction that I didn't expect the NFL to go in.
Stiz the other day played Not Like Us, the edited version, and I was like, what is this?
Yeah, you miss half the song.
Yeah. It was very, he's like calling him jabroni. I was like, what? Like, what's going on? I don't remember this from the song. Anyway, there you go. Kendrick Lamar fans, rejoice. he is going to be doing. Is it early to be announcing this, by the way?
No, this is right around the right
time.
This
is time. When they do it? Okay.
Yeah, I think so.
I forgot when that happens, I guess. But yeah, there you go. Kendrick Lamar, I don't know if he's going to be the only act, but he will be an act at the Super Bowl halftime show this year. So pretty cool. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. When we come back, we'll be joined by my co-host in afternoons, Andy Hart. And then it's time for a new segment called Pop, Lock, and Drop, which Chris Scheim is the mastermind of. We'll get to all of that next.